we're in the Ben HaMetzarim, literally in between the tragedies, in the events of Yud Zayin Tammuz that we observed last week, and upcoming in the next couple of weeks, Tisha B'Av. And even though we call a colloquial the 3 weeks, it's not called 3 weeks in Halach, it's known as the Ben HaMetzarim. So there are different aspects of mourning that we have during this time period. Well, as we'll see, the custom is not to have weddings during this time period. And weddings and haircuts are clear cut. It's a clear cut minig, that we don't take haircuts during this time. We could discuss when during the 3 weeks you're allowed to take a haircut, but all things being equal, you usually don't take, you plan your haircuts before and after, and you plan your weddings before and after. So the 3 weeks, so there are different halakhas of the 3 weeks. So there's a famous explanation of Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik explains everything in categories. So he says you can't just make up your own avelas, your own mourning period in a vacuum. You have to pattern it after other events. So he says, where else do we find mourning? When you lose your mother or father or another close loved one. So we know we have three periods established in halacha. We have Shiva, the 7-day period, the 30-day period, and the 12-month period. So Rav Soloveitchik points out that the 3 weeks are parallel to the 12-month period. Whatever is, not exactly, but similar. The 3 weeks are similar to the 12-month period. The 9 days is similar to the 30-day period. And Tisha B'Av is similar to Shiva. So he points out that because everything goes by category. So therefore, let's say by shaving. So the question is, are you allowed to shave or take a haircut during your 12-month period? If you lose your mother or father and you pass Shloshim, can you take a haircut or can you shave? So the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch that after 30 days, that if a friend or an acquaintance comes over to you and says, you look like a menuvel, you look disgusting, you need a haircut, you need a shave, so then you're permitted to take a haircut and shave. At least shave anyway. We'll get to haircuts in a minute. And the halacha is, even if the friend doesn't tell you, if you look in the mirror and figure it out yourself, that works also. Or if your wife tells you, or whoever tells you. So the halacha is that, so therefore, according to Rav Soloveitchik, if one who shaves daily during the year, so therefore, if he shaves every day, so after a day, if you shave yesterday, you need another shave tomorrow and the next day. So Rav Soloveitchik's opinion is you're permitted to shave during the 3 weeks. That's just the halacha. You don't need exceptions to the rule. That's the rule. There's no prohibition because if you could shave during the 12 month, which is a real din of Avelis, and certainly the custom of 3 weeks, you could shave. Regarding a haircut, the Ramah says you have to wait 3 months. But what does it mean to wait 3 months? The Ramosha Feinstein explained 3 months means it takes, assuming you take a haircut every 6 weeks. So therefore, double the time that you're like a menuvel for a haircut. And therefore, the halacha would be if you took a haircut 2 months before your mom or dad passed away, and then after Shloshim, it's 3 months, you don't have to wait at all. Then it's not 3 months from your Avelis, it's 3 months from your last haircut. And therefore, in theory, whether it was during Sfira or now, if let's say you couldn't, let's say the barbershops just open in the middle of the 3 weeks. But, you know, they opened before. But let's assume, so then, and you haven't taken a hair, so if you take a haircut every month and it's 2 months, so then Me'ikir Adin, even during the 3 weeks, you'd be able to take a haircut. Because, according to Rav Soloveitchik, because if you could take a haircut during Yud Beis Chodesh, which is stricter, so therefore, according to Rav Soloveitchik, once you reach it patterned after the 12 months, so just the same situation where I could take a haircut or shave during the 12 months, that would apply to the 3 weeks. Others don't accept Rav Soloveitchik's categories, and they say there are no categories. They took a different. They took from Shiva, they took from Shloshim, they took from Yud Beis Chodesh. There is no set categories. It doesn't have to be consistent with the previous category. And therefore, if others say one is not permitted to shave during this time period, because just like you can't take haircuts, so too you can't shave. I mean, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the reason why you can't take, generally, you can't take a haircut because a haircut you take once every 2 months or 3 months. So there's no reason you can't plan it around, if assuming you could. But by shaving, you have no option. If you shaved yesterday, it doesn't help me today. And therefore, so he says one is permitted to shave. Let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein and others assume no. All things being equal, just like you can't take a haircut during this period, you can't shave either. But let's say for your parnasa, for your job, it's understood that you have to shave. So he says, if you need it for your parnasa, that's a real mitzvah making a parnasa. This is only a minute, so therefore one is permitted to shave. And as well, he points out, let's say some other reason. Let's say it's a big discomfort to you. You're istinus, you know. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, on the books, Rav Moshe would say you can't shave. But practically, if you needed it for parnasa, if you're in pain, so he's also lenient in terms of shaving if one has to. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, it doesn't even get off the ground. Like, what if you look like a manuvel? So then, by definition, you could shave. I don't have to wait. I don't need the issue of. Even if I'm retired or I'm collecting SERB and I'm not working, so then even that, according to Rav Soloveitchik, you'd be able to shave. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik Lushitason says, once you're permitted to shave, you might be obligated to shave. Like, why? Because every Jew has to look well-kempt, and you always have to look well. You're always living among the Gentiles. So it's important you're always represented properly. You shouldn't look, you know, he was very big into like not wearing your shirt, you know, not just shaving. It doesn't mean like everything. You have to walk around in an appropriate manner all the time because we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, in general, he says if you're permitted, then you should, because there's no excuse to look like a manuvel if there's no halach. Unless the halacha tells you you have to look like a manuvel, then you should. In fact, it reminds me of there's a ma'aseh with Rav Moshe. I think because let's say the issue of shaving on Chol Hamoed. So Rav Soloveitchik also says you could shave on Chol Hamoed. That's for a different reason. I'll get to in a minute. But many assume the Shulchan Aruch among the many say one is not permitted to shave during Chol Hamoed. Why not? Because the Gemara gives the reason. He said, Gemara says, because we're afraid if we permit you to shave during Chol Hamoed, you'll say, okay, it's before Yontif, I'm so busy getting everything ready, I'll just shave during Chol Hamoed, and you'll end up entering Yontif looking disgusting. So in order to ensure you take the shave, you must do it before. So back in the day, once you shaved, you had a beard, so it wasn't like you had to shave every day. So once you shave once, that covered you the rest of Yontif. So, however, if Soloveitchik points out, but today, when you shave, I look like a manuvel the next day. because we never had a society, an observant society, that was clean shaven. Everyone used to have beards. We didn't have electric shavers before. So he says today is different. He says, and once you're permitted to shave, you're obligated to shave, because why look like a menuvel on Chol HaMoed? So the Rav Soloveitchik's opinion in general is, if you have an option, you're obligated on Chol HaMoed, because you have to look, you know, you have to look well on Yontif Chol HaMoed. And how does it look? It's the opposite. The reason the Gemara is, you're going to look like a menuvel, you're going to enter the next Yontif like a menuvel, it doesn't make any sense. Rav Moshe fundamentally agrees with Rav Soloveitchik in Halacha, and he says, don't protest against anyone who shaves on Chol HaMoed. But he didn't want to go, either for meta halacha reasons or he had pressure, whatever the issue. He writes a whole tshuva basically agreeing with Rav Soloveitchik. It wasn't about Rav Soloveitchik, but he agreed. But at the end of the tshuva, he says, you know, you don't better not to shave at the end, you know, because that's the custom. And to explain it in meta halacha terms, basically, let's say you have a big ship and you got to make a sharp turn. What might happen to the ship? It might turn over, if you like. So therefore, that was the machlokas Rav Moshe and the Rav Soloveitchik was more on a meta halacha. In other words, everyone agrees you could really shave. Really, it doesn't make any sense not to shave today. But since the minhag was always not to shave, Rav Moshe was more reluctant to change things like so dramatically. Let's have slow change. And Rav Soloveitchik, no, let's take the bull by its horns. If that's the halacha, I don't care. We're doing it. So it's more, but either way, so that's the halacha by Chol HaMoed. So that's a different halacha. And similarly, the halacha is by a haircut. If you were stuck in jail and you just got out on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to take a haircut and shave, because it's obvious to everyone why you couldn't take a haircut beforehand. So similarly here, So Rav Soloveitchik's opinion is by the 3 weeks, one is permitted to take a haircut, to shave. And Rav Moshe fundamentally is against, but if you, from B'makom part for a living, if you're in Makom Sar or some other reason, etc., one would be permitted to shave. So that's basically regarding, within the shaving camp, there's a further discussion. What about tonight, tomorrow? For those who don't shave during Sfira, during the week, according to Rav Soloveitchik, there's nothing to talk about. But if you work with the other opinion, that the minhag is not to shave. Oh, yes, so many assume you don't shave during Chol HaMoed. So someone asked Rav Gifter, like, but why? But you're going to look like a menuvel when you go into the second days of Yontif. So he basically said, kind of like, if the halacha tells you to be a menuvel, so then that is covered Yontif. In other words, like Rav Moshe, there's a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein in a camp in the Catskills. I think someone, it was Shabbos, he dropped his hat in the mud, not on purpose. You know, then he wanted to know, is his only hat he had. He wanted to wear a hat for davening. So he asked Rav Moshe, should I wear the hat? Is it a bizayon? Because he says, if you can't clean the hat because the halacha says you can't, then that's covered Shabbos. Therefore, they assume if halacha says I can't shave, so that's the covered Shabbos. But others claim, even if you don't shave during the week, this is the minhag in Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, but not just that. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and others say that it doesn't make any sense. Not shaving during the 3 weeks is only a custom. To be dressed up properly for Shabbos is a real obligation. So therefore, they feel the obligation is that one should go ahead and shave. You'll tell me, but during the 12-month period, it's not true. So others point out that by the 3 weeks, it's not as strong. There's a chasam sofer on it. But the bottom line is, I'd say the minhag Yisrael is most people don't shave at all, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos, but definitely have what to rely on for Shabbos, and you have Rav Soloveitchik to rely on Stam, but certainly if you go to work and you need to, or you have a makam sar, you certainly have what to rely on. What about listening to music during this time period? So really, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, whether it's by Sfira, I think by the 3 weeks, but by Sfira it says specifically, all it says is that you can't get married and you can't have haircuts. So where does music fit in? What do weddings have to do with music? It's true, you have music at weddings. So how do we get to the levels of the order to explain music? Let me go back and give you a little introduction about music. Before I ask music on the 3 weeks or Sfira Saomer, what about music all year round? You know why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it's usher to listen to music during the 3 weeks or the Sfira? Because he already said it was usher to listen to music all year round. Usher to listen to music? You can't listen to music all year round? What? So let's see what that means and what's the practical halacha. So let's go back to a Gemara in Gin where it all begins. I think it's Dav Zayin. The Gemara says, after Churban HaBayis, after the destruction of the temple, people were so sad, and therefore the rabbis instituted no more music. Music's a simcha. We're all suffering Churban HaBayis. No more music. And then the Gemara goes on to explain. They quote different psukim. And the Gemara says, why do I need different two psukim to tell me music is prohibited? So the Gemara concludes, because there are two types of music. Not only is instrumental music, ones that you use an instrument, prohibited, but even singing, even vocal music, that's also prohibited. So it looks like a closed book. End of discussion. Apparently, we're never allowed to listen. Of course, but makam mitzvah at a wedding, during davening. But makam mitzvah, you can listen to music or sing in that. But let's say when you're not doing a makam, it seems to be black and white in the Gemara that music is so how do we get to music being permitted? So first, Rashi on the Gemara says, he already limits the Gemara. He says, when does the Gemara say you can't listen to music? That's only when you're in a bar, i.e. when you're drinking. When you're drinking, I assume he means alcohol, not Coke, or grape or orange juice. But when you're drinking alcohol in a bar, he says, that's when you can't listen to music. However, stam, to listen to music, Rashi says that's not a problem. The Gemara only meant listening to music in a base hamishta, in a bar, in that type of, in a nightclub, where they're, apparently they're spreading COVID like crazy there, according to the last reports. But either way, so therefore it's the drinking in the bar that's the problem. But listening to music, in your home, that's okay. Or perhaps in other areas. And Tosfos gives another lean. He agrees to Rashi, but he also says, you know what type of music we're talking about? It's like the kings. Like the kings used to wake up, and they had someone playing the music, live music. It was a whole big festivity. But so that type of music, like live music, that type of thing is usher. But we'll see. But perhaps the music we have, maybe it will be different. But so he says that someone who's rugged, like the kings who heard music all the time, that type of thing, that over-enjoyment, simcha yisera, that's prohibited. So we already have Rashi and Tosfos limiting the scope. And however, the Rambam is the most strict out of the Rishonim, albeit a little less strict than the Gemara. The Rambam says, basically he agrees, he says like this, for all you Svardim out there, instrumental music is always prohibited. You can never, in a Beis HaMishkan, you know, except for Makom Mitzvah, at a wedding, instrumental music you can never listen to outside of a mitzvah purpose. However, vocal music you can listen to as long as it's not in a Beis HaMishkan. In a Beis HaMishkan, you can never have any music. Yeah, go on.
What's the problem with being in a Beis HaMishkan?
Yeah, so probably your guard is down, number one. You're drinking. It's not social distancing like today. But that was always the concern. Chazal were very concerned about drinking and in a social setting. And it leads to levity and other things. But that's why it's more... In fact, I remember there's a whole discussion anyway when you give hashkacha. Is the hashkacha only on food, or is the hashkacha also on the entertainment? Do I need kosher entertainment? Like certain hashkachas, if you have a TV in the restaurant, they won't give hashkacha. But other places, there was a big shaila. It was a restaurant, but they used to serve wine and liquor, and they wanted to play music. So the hashkacha said you can't play music because you have. It's like drink. That's a further debate whether it just means a Beis HaMishkan drinking and that's all you're doing, drinking with a little pretzels. Or if you're having a whole meal, maybe it's not the same. So that's already a nuance within, some would say in a restaurant with food, maybe it's not a problem. But either way, they agreed on a Malava Malka musical because they compromised on playing music Saturday night. It's a Makom Mitzvah. It's a Malava Malka. But either way, you have the Rambam Shita is that instrumental music is prohibited all the time. Vocal music, as long as you're not in a Beis HaMishkan, it's permitted. So the Mechaber of Yosef Cairo follows the opinion of the Rambam. And instrumental music is always prohibited except for a Makom Mitzvah. And vocal music you can do outside of a bar. However, the Ramah paskins like Rashi and Tosis and says that no, the only time it's prohibited is in a bar, in a Beis HaMishkan, or someone who's always rugged with his people going around playing the flutes with him and that. But under normal situations, one is permitted to listen to music. An interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's usually more lenient, he's very machmir when it comes to... I guess they made a mistake. They asked Rav Moshe what he thought. And if you ask me what I thought, I'll tell you. So Rav Moshe, he really thinks you should never listen to the music. Because the simple reading of the Gemara in Gittin is you shouldn't listen to music ever, except for a wedding. He said, but he said it, and even though most people don't listen to me all year round, so at least during the 3 weeks in Tzvira, really he thinks you should never listen to music. But at least listen to me during Tzvira Omer in the 3 weeks. So either way, so the question is, even if we assume music is usher, what kind of music is usher? Is it only, because they only had live music then, or did they? What was the music then? They had instrumental music. So what about recorded music? If you assume music is a problem, is recorded music, does it have the same status of live music? Let's say you're listening to an MP3, or whatever the new things, what is that considered? So obviously everyone agrees live music is music. That's not a debate. The question is, what about CDs or radios and that type of thing? So some say that we go back to the way it was originally made. The fact it's on a CD doesn't make it not live anymore. Others want to say maybe singing makes it worse on a CD because maybe that's instrumental music now. So some want to argue that there's no difference between live music and taped. It's all prohibited. And others say, no, that we don't have to when the whole takana was, it was only on live music. I don't have to take it more than the original decree existed. Like, for instance, let's say on Pesach, there's an issue of not eating kidneys. So there was a whole debate about, it's not a new food anymore. It never really was new, but what's that food I don't eat all year round, but they eat on Pesach? What's that food I'm talking about? No, it's a kidneys. Quinoa. So can you have quinoa on Pesach? So that's a debate. So what's one of the issues is the Rav Moshe's argument is quinoa did not exist during the time when the rabbis instituted. So it's only whatever they said. We have no right to add new things. And others say no. You have to go back and say, if this was available, would they have included it? So that's the same thing here. Do I say only the music that they had then? I mean, they had instruments anyway, like they had guitars or some things, or, you know, so it's not like they didn't have musical instruments before, but maybe an MP3 or radio that they didn't have. But either way, so what are the reasons to be lenient? You know, the minhag Yisroel is people are lenient. They listen to music all year round. So what about being lenient during the 3 weeks? So what would be grounds to be lenient? So some point out, where do we find the prohibition of music at all during the... It goes like this. The Shulchan Aruch writes by Sfira, you can't have weddings. The Shulchan Aruch says no weddings. Comes along the Magen Avraham and says, he adds his own thing, not only no weddings, but no dancing. Like he has different type of dancing, like a dancing with one or two people and circle. So the Shulchan Aruch only says weddings. He extends it to dancing. Who is the one of the first to bring up music? Well past the Magen Avraham, the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived during the time of the Chafetz Chaim, you know, 1800s, the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, if dancing is prohibited, then how much more so music is prohibited? So that's a questionable Kal Vachomer, like, which is that so obvious? You think music is more than dancing? I could argue dancing is more than music. So therefore, number one is, the Shulchan Aruch says weddings. The Magen Avraham says dancing. And then the Aruch HaShulchan brings up music. So some say, among one of my, or Mordechai Willick, he says, yes, today that everyone listens to music all day. They have their headphones, they have their earbuds. So today it doesn't have the same, doesn't bring the same sim. In other words, why would recorded music be better than live music? Because one reason, doesn't give you the same simcha. If you go to a concert, you wake up, you're listening to music all day, so therefore it's not the same. He doesn't think technically it's prohibited. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, what's the whole reason music is usher? Because based on the Magen Avraham, that if dancing is usher, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, if dancing is usher, the music. So he wants to say only the type of music that leads to dancing. Like, you know, fast, I don't know, I don't dance, but whatever music leads to dancing, that's the music you shouldn't be listening to. But slow music, you know, classical, you know, whatever it might be, he says that's not prohibited. So obviously, if you're driving in a car, I'm hoping even if you're listening to dancing music, you're not going to get up. So, you know, so driving to stay up and driving, that's already, obviously, if it's a real danger, of course it's mutter. But even if it's not danger, just to keep yourself in a better mood, you could drive better. So that's also, let's say you want to work out with music. That's also, music's not for the sake of music. You're doing it for background in order to enjoy your workout. And so you have many reasons, you know, many people, whether Rav Mordechai Wilk saying it might not even be usher at all, if you're listening to, and Rav Soloveitchik says you could listen to music privately. not, you know, not publicly, because that's the 12 months. It's only Simcha Meireh, it's public joy, but not private joy. So therefore you have Rav Soloveitchik listening by yourself, you have Rav Shlomo Zalman, only music that leads to dancing, and you have, you know, working out should be okay, driving, and to add to everything, we're living in the middle of a pandemic. It's, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's COVID-19. And therefore many people are stuck at home. I'm not saying clinically depressed, but people are down, you know, people, millions of people have lost their jobs. So in addition to all the other reasons, especially during COVID, if a person's down, they gotta be lifted up. You know, you're not listening to music for the sake of singing, and that, you know, that you should stay away from. But just to get back to normal, you know, you don't have to walk around sad and depressed. Even, we always say, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. There always has to be inner simcha. You can't serve God when you're depressed and you're... So therefore, if a person needs, even if all the other ones weren't okay, but since we're during a pandemic and people need music to get cheered up, so that also would be another potential leniency. Yeah, Henry. Correct. So professional musicians, so therefore, so they talk about, some talk about practicing. They feel that there's no joy in practicing. So practicing's okay. It's like, kind of like when in the camps I used to go to when I was younger. So let's say during the 9 days, there's a custom not to swim. One of the meeting, what? So they used to make a distinction. General swim was prohibited, but swim instruction was permitted because everyone hated swim instruction. I didn't like general swim either, so maybe it was okay. Besides, Rav Moshe gave a heter, if it's like a heat wave during the 9 days, you could jump in to cool down. In other words, the issue is rechitza shel tainug. It's swimming for the sake of enjoyment. If you're swimming just to cool off, or perhaps health reasons, that'll be a separate discussion that maybe, we could discuss your personal question at another time. But that would be a possible heter as well. So therefore, they point out, they talk about perhaps, if you need it for a parnassa to play music, but then obviously you shouldn't be playing in it, you probably shouldn't be playing for a Jewish crowd because you shouldn't be having any weddings or that. Yes, that's what they did. So Henry is correct. They do discuss that professional musician has his own particular rules. So bottom line, let's summarize. Then I'll take any more. So to summarize, we said it talks about haircuts. So haircuts, we said, is prohibited. But if you haven't taken a haircut before and the barbershops open up, perhaps you doubled your time, you would be able to. But shaving with salivation, because today person shaves daily, and therefore has a din of the 3 weeks, like Yud Beis Chodesh, you're permitted to shave. Others assume you can shave, but if you're in tsar, if you're in distress, or panasa, or covered Shabbos, there are other leniencies. You know, perhaps they extend to the 9 days as well in Shua Shechobo. And then we discuss no weddings. We discuss where does music come from. So really, music really starts off being totally prohibited, but Rashi and Tosas are more lenient in the Beis HaMishteh, only big celebrations, the Rambam. So even though on the books music is very difficult, but the bottom line is, but as well, even during non-COVID times, we assume all year round, we need music to cheer us. We live in Golis, there's systemic anti-Semitism all around. So therefore, you always need some music to keep yourself going. But that's all year. So during the 3 weeks, obviously, then if one doesn't need the music, there's no need to. I'm not a big music person, so it really doesn't make that much of a difference to me. But those who music makes a difference to, you know, or plus the different reasons we gave, that it's probably only certain music, like to cause you to dance, real simcha, but if you're doing it to become inspired, different, you're doing it for workouts, you're doing it for other reasons, so then is what to rely on, especially now during COVID-19. We could add another element above. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, I'm listening.
Should I therefore actually avoid the
deal that you supposed to be done at the press? No, but it wasn't a good connection. I didn't hear what you were asking. You're saying that if you're asking, let's say a person, should a person specifically not listen because it causes enjoyment? Or what was your question?
Yes, that.
Yeah, no, so I'm just saying it depends. So it depends what kind of, I'd say, excessive enjoyment. Like if you have to get back to normal, you know, so then it depends what kind of music I'm saying. So you should stay away music that leads to excessive enjoyment or like to singing and dancing. But unless a person who's, you know, clinically depressed, but you need it to work yourself. In other words, better to listen to music and don't be depressed than be depressed and don't listen to music. But besides that, I'm saying so. It is the 3 weeks, so we don't want to get into, you know, even though it's the 9 days that talk about excessive simcha, but it's 3 weeks isn't a great time. It's a churban, so if we could, you know, we try the certain things we don't try. We like don't have concerts, you know. But if you personally are listening. I said, if you're personally listening in your house, then it's not like you're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be besimcha. It's not like it's not that you're not allowed to enjoy yourself. We just don't, you know, if you're in Avil, it's an excessive tainig you shouldn't do. But you're not supposed to cause yourself distress. The two, you know, the different levels. There's miyat tainig versus tsar, you know. So. Yeah, the 9 days, yeah. I'm saying, yeah, the 9 days are more, because Rav Salvechik, it's Shloshim, so, you know, we'll take on, in other words, you'll need a greater need to do these things. In other words, it could be the same law on the books, but the law is a little stronger because it's the 9 days, but really strictly the week of Tisha B'Av is the strongest. So let's say this year when it's on Thursday, so if anything, you know, at least the week before, like the last, like from Saturday night to like Tisha B'Av, you know, it's only a couple of days, so maybe a person can do it. Again, every situation is different.
Okay, thank you.
The important thing is to keep in touch and have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Okay.